afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for sticking around. So we will be moderating a Q&A session. My name is Gabor Pertic, and I'm a programmer support here at TIFF 2010. And thank you all for staying. And we'll try to get to as many of your questions as you can. So make sure to raise your hands up real nice and high and project your voice. But before we do that, I'd like to invite the producers of WOOM as well as the director, Benedict Flagga.
And not just because of the philosophical aspect that it has, which is, of course, that's the most important part of, for me, but also because I think it's going to happen in our society. I think it's something which is definitely going to be part of the customized society.
The question was dealt with the controversy of how it might have been dealt with in Europe.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
Are you bringing it to Europe back, or where's this movie going from here?
No, the film actually premiered at Locarno Film Festival in competition, so there were reactions, of course. Mostly quite good. People were glued to the screen and have different opinions on what to think about in the end. The question that the film asks and is, it shows us a situation that is new and that we have actually no real words for, because if you go back to incest, it also refers to a mix of blood and genes, which is not the case here. But of course, socially, it is a situation that is, to put it mildly, weird. and so the film asked the question, also including us, what is going on here and what will be technically possible? Are you ready for this morally, ethically, emotionally? It doesn't give you any answers to that. And so Locarno, it was a huge screening. People were glued to the screen and discussed very, very strongly afterwards. The more Catholic countries are more shocked than the Protestant countries. This is what we can say, and we haven't tested it on Muslim ground yet. So. After that, we'll go to the London Film Festival, Thessaloniki, Haifa. So we have Jewish as well. And Reykjavik, yeah.
Question: how or who would be the director? And they came later. I mean, I wasn't like I've got a face for it, you know. I had a real kind of imagination how he or she would be, but without name. And then I think we did a kind of really really a long and an intense a casting session in London. Really fantastic actors. I mean, I'm really impressed by the English actors, I have to say. And yeah, and that was it.
Hi. I'm sort of.
Hello.
Okay. This is sort of a complicated question, but I'll try to. I take your point about the importance of timelessness, right? Because I guess it allows you to I don't know, portray the subject or debate the subject in a sort of philosophical vein, right? But at the same time, isn't there also a narrative progression that your subject sort of requires, right? The 22 years pass, and what happens to that in the film? I mean, there were two factors me that kept it in the real, right? Even as the costumes and the settings sort of took it out of the world, the little bit of technology that we kept seeing, like the laptops and so on, seemed to keep it in our time, right? It did.
Yeah.
And I take it that was a conscious decision, right? And secondly, that the actors, I mean, Eva Green doesn't really age significantly, right? She doesn't look like a middle-aged woman by the end of the film. So I wonder if you could talk about that decision and what lay behind that.
Yeah, I mean, with the futuristic object, I mean, I really wanted to avoid that,
yeah.
You know, to make a film about the cloning when, you know, there are UFOs and stuff like that, because it, you know, it's a cliche. And you know, then you, because I wanted to keep a focus on the relationship between these people, not on the want something which is not like that. And you know, what you said, the time is not really passing here. And you know, if you analyze it deeply, there is a meaning of that. And it's also, I think it's a core of the film. When you realize that the problem's the same somehow. You know, this is, I think this decision whispering that, you know. You know, the problem's the same, no matter what kind of circumstances what we have or what kind of situations what we have, like cloning each other or not, that the people got identical crisis anyway. And so that's the first question. And the second is why she's not aging in a sort of proper way. There are some people who are like that, you know, when you don't see the time passing on them. And I think it's got a connection with her personality, which is, you know, she's not the one who can move on. You know, she can't really move on her situation. And that's, you know, I it's like a, it's a conversation, you know, with the mum, how do you call it, with the mummy.
Conservation.
Mummification, yes, it's a little bit like that, you know, when you just keep yourself because perhaps you feel that there is something that's going to happen and you are not ready to, you know. Perhaps some people who make big effort to like Michael Jackson, to avoid this, and that there is other things. But that's one thing, and the other is, I thought that it's going to make her a little bit more ghosty, because I think she's ghosty. She's a little bit floating, you know, above the situation. She's just coming really silent like a cat, and she got this. Thirdly, and that's also important, is I think she looks like 40-something at the end, by the way. But this is a psychological thing. I think the people waiting for something really like, you know, like a rubber thing on the face and like this, you know, the silverish hair and old lady behavior just because 20 years passed away. But if you look at the 40 women here, they can be like 38 or 35 or whatever. You know, nowadays it's not that big gap between. So altogether, it's a quite complex question.
Right, so we have time for one more question, and we'll wrap up after the fact.
I thought that was an interesting question, but even from when she comes back the first time, she seems to be in the same state she was as a child, like the way she wore her oversized clothes and her bicycle. She just didn't seem to even move on from that romance as a kid. So I guess bluntly put it, I don't know if you feel, we keep calling this a love story, but is she insane? Does she have to be crazy to have this kind of love? Or how do you feel about Rebecca?
I hope I'm not the only one who feels that she's a beautiful person. So for me, I mean, I was surprised. I was really surprised when during the script analysis, they said to me it's such a selfish thing to do. Because for me, it's everything but selfish. What she did is a beautiful thing, and if somebody would make this with me. Yeah, just imagine yourself for this in this situation, and then I would say the same what Tommy said at the end. Like, thank you, Rebecca, because I think she's right. What she said, it's just true. It's a gift. But I mean, it's such a fantastic gift that you can give to somebody, like, you know, coming back. And also, it has a biological aspect, which is the short lived. It's you know, if you give birth to your own son, like in the normal way, and your genes go to that phenomenon, then that child is, that's not the sacrifice, I must say, because then that's the copy of you, and that's your purpose, living here on this planet, to make a copy about yourself. But if you do this, then your genes is not in it, but you give to him everything, to, you know, erase him, and that's sacrifice. Because then where is your genes, you know what I mean? It's a biological analysis, but since I believe in evolution, so I think that, so she's a beautiful person.
All right, well, we do have to wrap up, so thank you for staying.
Thank you.